Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back. It's Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Local author joining us here. It's actually kind of a cool thing that we get to talk about a new book called Have Pool, Q Will Travel. And joining us is the author of that book, Mark O'Brien. Thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Ryan, thank you much for having me.
I am looking at the cover of your book, and it's the book in the story, and really you getting to know St. Louis Louis Roberts. Who was St. Louis Louis?
Louis was the most charismatic and entertaining pool player on the planet for about two decades, in the 70s and the 80s. Now, he was also a natural comedian, and he also won countless nine-ball tournaments, including the very prestigious U.S. Open, and he won that twice. Hmm. And if you could afford private lessons with Louis, it was well worth it just for the entertainment.
Private lessons alone. So mm-hmm. He was doing all kinds of different things. But there was the way people look at pool today versus the way it was, I think the culture and the atmosphere is a little bit different. It was something that kind of like boxing. You know, boxing, if you go back a couple of decades, much different than how we look at boxing today. And pool was like that.
Oh, exactly. It used to be like, you know, the back, dark, smoke-filled room, a lot of degenerates, gambling, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
it's no longer like that. You know, the new pool rooms, they're man, they cost a lot of money to open, and the equipment is really high dollar stuff. And unfortunately, the COVID has shut down quite a few of them. But we still have some decent ones here in St. Louis that are open. You know, so that's cool.
Billiards or pool? It's almost like it's more sophisticated when you call it billiards. As opposed to pool.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. You remember Minnesota Fats, correct?
No, in fact, when it comes to this whole world of billiards or pool, I do not know much about it at all.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I'm on a whole different world on something like this. Was this your life? Is this something that consumed you at a young age?
Yeah, about 15. I walked in a local room right on Arsenal Street. And I kept hearing these stories about someone named St. Louis Louis. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a mythical character. And he had to be at least 50 or 60. And one day, a couple of young guys walked in, about 21. And everybody in the pool room, about the same time, they shouted, "It's Louis." Mm-hmm. And it was Louis Roberts. And he was 21. Yeah. And he was already a legend.
Yeah. Wow. What made him so good? So tell me, what's the difference between a great and a legend?
Well, Louis, like I say, he won so many events throughout the country. At a young age, his father, he made a little score during a card game one night. He won enough money to buy a brand new pool table. You know, they had like five siblings. So in comes the table, and Louis became infatuated. And every day after school, he'd practice for about 6 or 8 hours. Now, he also claimed to have 20/10 visions. And that means, you know, what we see at 20 feet, Louis could see at 10. So Louis could actually see the outside edge of a pool ball, I suppose, better than you and I. And he could cut a ball down a rail right into the pocket so well and so often. Hundreds of people say he was the greatest shot maker to ever hold a pool cue. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
You know, how lucrative was it for him?
You know, it's funny you ask that. When Louis, we hired him away from a pool room in Memphis to be the house pro at our room here in St. Louis. It was 1988. And the first day he came back, he called two or three of the local TV stations, Channel 5, 4, 2. He said, whoever calls me back first gets the exclusive interview. Channel 5 called back. And the very next day, you know Art Holliday?
Mm-hmm.
From Channel 5, him and a cameraman and a couple other people, they showed up. During the interview, Art Holliday point blank asked Louis, "Louis, how much money have you won?" he said, "Art, I don't know how much I've won, but I've lost enough to put a down payment on an aircraft carrier." Yeah. Like I say, Louis was a natural comedian. He had some one-liners that I'll just give you two or three of them. He said, "Jobs are for people that don't know how to gamble." He used to say that pretty often. And he said, "They call money cold cash because it never stays in your pocket long enough to get warm."
Mm-hmm.
And then one last one. He said, "If you have a split personality, your job should pay you twice."
I like that. Yeah, maybe I should use that in the next contract negotiation. Well, I wonder with when you're a pool player, so the impression I get is that some of the money that you were making was under the table. People would come up, you know, okay, I bet you $100 or something like that. So is that most of his income, or was it going on tour, playing in these professional tournaments and getting the prize money? What do you think was his main driver of income? I'm just curious.
Oh, it was gambling. Without question, there was quite a few big cities here in the Midwest, on the West Coast. Wow. You know, the good thing about Louis, he played with the same enthusiasm for $5 a game or for $5,000. Mm. He was so focused. I saw him play two different people at the same time on more than one occasion. Huh. He looked like a chess master going from table to table. And he used to have to give a huge handicap to, you know, most anybody he played. He was famous.
Wow.
He was famous. And he
was actually in a movie, which is kind of cool. But do you mind if we maybe after the break we can talk about that? And he died at a young age, which is a sad tragedy, too. Maybe we can talk about that after. If people wanted to find your book, Have Pool Cue Will Travel, where can they go?
The best place would be Amazon. And if you're local and you do get a book and you'd like me to sign it, I'm out at a place. Here comes a shameless plug.
Yeah, go for it.
Called TPC in Valley Park. Small room. But I'm out there 2-3 nights a week. You can contact me on Facebook. I'd be happy to sign it for nothing. Not a problem.
Oh, that's cool. And I'm looking at the reviews on Amazon now. 4.9 out of 5 stars, 53 ratings, which is hard to do. Normally when you see 5 stars on Amazon, it's because there's like 2 people that have rated it. You have 50 plus ratings based on a book that came out just a few months ago. So it's getting some great reviews on there. And
right. Now keep in mind pool players aren't very internet savvy. And if I ask them to leave me a review, I'm not asking for a good review, just a fair review. Uh-huh. They don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So those reviews are good. They're legit.
It's the book about St. Louis Roberts, the book Have Pool Cue Will Travel. We'll continue with author Mark O'Brien, local here in St. Louis, coming up right after the break on Overnight America KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
Have Pool Cue Will Travel is the name of the book, which you can find now on Amazon. Joining us now is the author of that book locally here in St. Louis, Mark O'Brien. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, man.
St. Louis, Louis Roberts. You have some photos of him and things. And normally when I think of someone that gambles a lot, I think that they make a lot of enemies. So did he have a lot of enemies?
No, he was loved by probably 99.9% of the entire pool world. He was so entertaining, Ryan. If there was 40 top pros at a tournament, as soon as they called a match for Louis, like, say, on table number 11, St. Louis, Louis, you're playing such and such, the crowd would get up from where they're at to go over to get near Louis, because you never know what he was going to do. He was unbelievably funny. I'll tell you one quick story. There's a famous cue maker by the name of Bob Mucci down in Mississippi. He invited Louis as the guest of honor at his home for a Thanksgiving dinner. And there was about 15 of the Mucci family, and they're a little bit religious. And they asked Louis to say the prayer. And Louis's like, "Me?" And they're like, "Yeah, Louis, you're the guest of honor. Say the prayer." So Louis stood up and he said, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God."
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was Louis. That was Louis.
That was Louis. Yeah, I was reading, too, that he was in a movie, The Color of Money, which was a Tom Cruise film. Very popular. People know that. And tell me about his role in that. Where he was in the pool hall?
Well, he was hired as a technical advisor. And what that meant was him and four or five of the other top popular professionals, they were to teach Paul Newman and Tom Cruise how to play pool. And Louis said that, you know, Newman had average skills to begin with, but Tom Cruise never played pool, so he was more difficult to teach. But at the end of it all, they both looked pretty good at the table. And I can tell you this, Tom Cruise and Paul Newman, they'll never forget St. Louis Louis, who, by the way, had a little black book of phone numbers, and he showed me. He had a contact number for both of them superstars.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Give him a call after. If I ever get a chance to interview Tom Cruise, which is unlikely, I will make sure to remember our pool friend here and see if he's got any stories. But was he actually in the movie, or was he just someone that was working behind the scenes as a more advisory role?
He was behind the scenes. You can actually see Louis about four times during the film. He does shoot a trick shot, which is pretty cool. He told me that the reason he didn't get a speaking part in the movie was because he looked too much like Elvis Presley.
Oh, weird. Huh.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And it's kind of a shame because he died at a very young age. He was 41 when he passed away
in
1991.
Right.
So
right.
What happened in those last years? Because I read that he opened a pool school and, you know, he was doing other things even, and he's still young.
Yeah, well, he met a woman, you know, the old story, and he actually moved away from St. Louis out to Mesa, Arizona. And apparently she had a whole bunch of money and was, you know, backing Louis when he'd find a game for money. And he, you know, he had some addictions, unfortunately, and he just couldn't beat them. And I actually talked to Louis like three times the night he apparently took his own life. And I got to tell you, Ryan, you know, I was a police officer 20 years, and nothing was wrong. He was so happy, jovial, full of stories, and he was telling me that he wanted to get back to the practice table because there was a big tournament about 2 weeks ahead of time. And then my partner, who, by the way, was Louis's best friend, and he advertises on KMOX, one of the owners of SNL Coin, Larry LaBarbera.
Okay.
I heard a commercial as I was listening to your show earlier, and I'm like, boy, is that ironic. So anyway, another plug. And my partner called Louis when he got back home or got back out to the pool room. And then he got the bad news from a homicide detective. And the entire pool world just went into shock and sadness. It's, you know, I cried like a baby. I mean, I still feel terrible. So I did extra research to find out what happened. And I can't figure it out.
And that's the thing. And so I have the book, a copy of it right now. So Have Pool Cue Will Travel. And it's chapter 67. What's interesting is that people have ideas of what could have happened. There's speculation that you may have found. And what you do is a little bit of research to try to see if there's any merit, if there's any truth to any of those different rumors that are out there. And it sounds like even decades after his death, people are still talking about that incident.
Oh, here in St. Louis, no one accepted the fact Louis took his own life. He just was full of life, and he had so much to give. He wasn't done by any means, even though he was 41. You know, about 9 months prior to the incident, it was March of 91. Mm-hmm. He won a big pro tournament up near Chicago, and he beat some of the biggest names in pool. So he was not done by any means, and only one person might know what happened, and that was the woman in the house where it occurred. I wish I knew what happened. It's sad.
The book is Have Pool Cue Will Travel, and it's about St. Louis, Louis Roberts, and author Mark O'Brien joining us here. It sounds like in the world of pool and the way that it's changed over the years, we're looking at a time that in the first half of the interview, you mentioned smoky rooms and things, that all of it changed. And today, so many different people have pool tables in their basement. It's a big recreational thing. So if people are looking to remodel, it's almost a given that they're going to be researching putting a pool table in their man cave or whatever it is. And, you know, so much has changed in the sport. I'm wondering, with the abundance of, you know, pool tables and things like that, have people gotten better? Like, it's because, so I always wonder, like, is St. Louis Louis good for his time, or was he just like one of those once in a lifetime type of talents?
Well, somebody like him doesn't come along often. However, little Fairview Heights, Illinois, right across the river, they have a guy, a younger guy named Justin Bergman. He's one of the top players in the world, and he's around here locally playing all the time. And he's also on the Moscone Cup team. And that is a tough team to qualify for and be a part of. They only take five players, and they play Europe once a year. It is the biggest thing in pool, USA versus Europe. And in my book, I broke down Justin Bergman versus St. Louis Louis then and now. And I won't give away what I thought.
Well, the whole book, I mean, there's a lot of work that was put into it, and we're talking about a couple of decades have now since been removed, 30 years removed since he passed away in 1991. What was the motivation for you to put this together so many years after?
You know, I was talking to some old friends, and I took about 13 years off of pool myself, but I started going back around when I retired from the police department here in St. Louis City. And everybody I ran into, they asked me questions about Louis, because they knew I was a very good friend of Louis. And then Larry started coming back out again. Every time we're somewhere, someone asks us something about Louis. And then I got to thinking, you know what? He deserves this. Now, it took me 2 years, but I loved every minute of it because I really researched. I really did.
Yeah, there's a lot of photos and things, and sometimes it's difficult to come across things like that. So did you have a lot of this already archived, or did you have to find people that had these photographs or memorabilia just stored somewhere?
Yeah, the photos I got from a lot of the professional photographers, luckily, had some pictures of Louis. Most of it's from memory, as I went on the road with Louis like four different times, and you can bet there's going to be a story. No matter what city he visits, there's going to be a story. So between Larry, myself, and a lot of the pool people, I was reminded of a couple of the stories, but a lot of it is firsthand knowledge.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I wonder, are there any archive videos of him out there? Can people actually see him in action, or is that long lost to time?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's only a couple of videos available on, like, YouTube. And one of them, Louis playing at a great room, been around 50 years. Cue and Cushion Billiards in Overland, Missouri. And Louis was playing the top player from Kansas City, giving him a huge handicap. No one could believe it. And Louis beat the guy, given a big handicap. I mean, big, you know. And unfortunately, there's just not that much video footage of Louis other than some TV station interviewing him, whether it's Memphis, Tallahassee, St. Louis. Those are available out there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, again, if people wanted to pick up a copy or check out the book, Have Pool Cue Will Travel, where can they find it?
Amazon would be the place. And again, if they're local and they'd like me to sign it, contact me on Facebook. I'd be happy to meet you. And, you know, I love it. I just love doing stuff like that. So feel free.
Yeah. So just look up your name, Mark O'Brien, on Facebook?
Correct.
Perfect. Have Pool Cue Will Travel, and it's the story of St. Louis, Louis Roberts. Real great that we were able to hook up here. I know you sent me the book some time ago, and we waited till after the new year to do this. I'm glad we had a chance to do it tonight. Thank you for coming on and talking about the legend.
Yeah, he definitely is a legend. Ryan, thank you so much for having me, man. Appreciate it.
So again, the author, Mark O'Brien, you can look him up. Have Pool Cue Will Travel on Amazon. He joins us on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. That was cool. Learned a thing or two about St. Louis history. If you're a pool player and you're in this region, I'm guessing you know the name and you might have had some fun hearing that. But if you didn't, and you're like me, who moved to St. Louis, maybe a transplant or not in that world, it was good to learn about one local legend, a little bit of history in that fashion. You can check the book out too if that interests you even more. Coming up after the break, we'll take a look at your weather, and we're going to have a basketball coach, a pretty accomplished basketball coach, college basketball, author of a book called 10 Principles of a Character Coach, and Gary Waters is joining us after the break on Overnight America KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
So it's the book that came out in December. So one that is just nice and warm off the presses. It's called The 10 Principles of a Character Coach. Joining us now is Gary Waters. Thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for having me.
I'm thrilled because when I was reading your bio, we do have a connection because I also graduated from Central Michigan University.
Oh, that was pretty great. When did you graduate?
I was not there when you were there. I graduated in 2005. So I understand you were there. Let's see. You went to Ferris State. I also grew up in the Detroit area. Grew up in Taylor. I don't know if you ever spent time there.
Yeah, I know Taylor very well.
And, you know, I had fun. Taylor was, they had a lot going on when I was living there, but I was looking at all the local connections and I love seeing these things. So when I wanted to bring it, I wanted to find at least some local connection. And for me, at least, it brought it right back home. But you have coached in a couple of different places and you've had quite a coaching career, a college coaching career, including Cleveland State. And then before that, Rutgers and Kent State. What really got you interested in coaching?
Well, it was very early in my life that I got involved in coaching, because when I finished college, I literally was went on an internship for General Motors, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to be an executive in General Motors. And I went on an internship, loved it, everything went well. And then at the end of it, I said, this isn't what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I got together with my wife and told her, I said, no, I really don't want to do this. You know, she had been waiting all year for me to, you know, all of a sudden take this job. Mm-hmm. And I said, I really, and she asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, what I really want to do is coach or change young men's lives. That was my whole concept. So right from then, from right then and there, I immediately went into coaching.
Wow. Right then and there. Now, has it always been basketball?
I give you this. When I went to General Motors and I was there and I was doing all that, and it was two summers in a row in my last summer in college. But I also got drafted into the NBA at that time.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, so I had to make a decision. I wouldn't try it out, and it didn't work out. And when everything ended, I said, what should I do? And that's when I made that decision. I wanted to coach.
Oh, great. What team drafted you?
The Detroit Pistons.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah. Well, it's cool because it's hometown, you know, you get to if any team you think, wow, this would be the one that you grew up in or a part of, I'm sure you watched and listened to on TV and radio.
Oh, that's exactly right. And the reason why I asked you about when did you go to Central Michigan, my son played for Central Michigan. He went 4 years there in Central Michigan. So that's why I asked you that question.
Yeah. What years was he playing?
Well, he had to play, got to go back and think, because he's 50 now. Mm-hmm. So you go back at least 28 years, 29 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's so good. I mean, they've done so many improvements to the campus and where they play basketball there. It's amazing the facilities college campuses can put together anymore. It's just remarkable. But, you know, so you go into coaching and you take some of the things that you've learned and you apply it. And I'm guessing, much like a lot of first-time coaches, you make some mistakes early on and things that you wish you can go back and correct.
Is that a question for me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we cut out there for a second. So, yeah, because I think about that, too. I think about even this is almost general for anyone. Like, I think about myself in my early broadcast career. I think, oh, man, I wish I can go back and change these things. When you talk about the things that you learn, there's always this journey that people go through. And it's not that much different than, I'm guessing, the kids that you're coaching a lot of the times. They're going through their own journeys. You're going through your own journey. You're trying to learn certain things. I'm guessing you've learned a lot of things over the years.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, when you think about how many years I coached, 43 years, it's a lot that you learn in there, the do's and the don'ts, the needs and what you need and what can help you move forward and all these kind of things I learned from. And it really, you know, culminated into who I was as a coach.
And you start putting these principles together in the book, The 10 Principles of a Character Coach. And over the years, you start to recognize these sort of things. Tell me, how do you recognize these principles, these things that are important, really, for developing character?
Well, you know what, Ryan? First, what I had to do was decide when I was going into retirement, right? And in retirement, I said, what am I going to do in retirement? So at that moment, I started writing, and I wrote a book called Journey Through the Eyes of a Character Coach. It's not out. But it will be out later because it's my autobiography. Mm-hmm. And when I decided I was going to talk about character, what I did was write down all the places I had been and what occurred and what type of character situation that was in that book. But when I got together with my editor and my publisher, they indicated to me that, hey, you know, we like your book. Everything's good. But If you put this book out right now, no one will know. The only one that will come to this book and come and purchase this book are people that know you. Mm-hmm. And he said, and he went on to say, what would be better if you had some writings before that, so they know who you are, and then they would gravitate towards your autobiography. And that's when I created this 10 Principles of a Character Coach. And my whole thought pattern was, you know, I was looking at what's happening in at the time at college basketball, and I was looking at all the negative things that were occurring through coaching, through behavior patterns, all these kind of things. And I said, you know what, I need to put some information out so coaches know what are the right way to do things. And so that's when I created these 10 principles of a character coach.
So when you look at movies, television, things like that, they normally depict certain coaches in a certain way. And they like to, they like to show all those very heartfelt moments. I'm guessing being a real coach in real life scenarios where you're with certain kids that have real life problems, it's not always that glorious. It's not always that well packaged.
Right, right. And that happens. I mean, and you have to expect that's what you're in there to do. You're in there to work with young men, or if you're a female coach, work with young women. And you got to make sure that you uncover what is within them. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, I went to a seminar one time, and I sat down and listened to a guy that had written a book on backpacks. And I'm giving you this information. It's pretty unique to what you're saying. And he said, what we have, everyone carries a backpack. You know, when I grew up, we carried briefcases or shoulder backs. You remember that? But he says, everyone carried a backpack. And in that backpack, there's a lot of things that has happened throughout your life, or at the beginning of your life to the end of your life. Now, in that backpack, you have to know when you're coaching a team, what's in your player's backpack. And if you don't know, you better make sure you have someone on your staff that knows it. So what I have put together in my mind is that when I get together with players and I'm recruiting and everything, I want to know all about them, what they're all about, to help them move forward. And that's what got me all started with this.
Wow. Who are some of your favorite coaches, the people that you looked at as your peers that you really respected?
Well, let me give you the first one I'm going to bring up is John Wooden. You remember him?
Sure, of course.
Of UCLA. And he is probably the ultimate character coach. And I had I read all his books, studied his information. And then the other one I kind of built my philosophy around was Dean Smith. I knew him from being with Nike. So I got a chance to meet him personally, and I got a chance to understand what he was all about, and I really admired what he was doing. And then during my time, you had John Thompson, who was very good, a very good coach at the time. And so that was at Georgetown. So these guys, I kind of emulated many of the things that they did with their programs and in their lives.
Yeah. And you start to learn these things, and you put them together. Is this primarily a book for someone that is a coach, or can you see these principles apply to everyday life, managers in a workplace, things like that?
Oh, great question, Ryan. It obviously it's good for coaches, but it also is good for parents. You know, if you have a son or a daughter and they're going to college or they're going and they're in high school, you want to know, you want to make sure that the coach that's coaching them have some positive principles. So it's good for them. And as leaders in business, it's good for them because they can take this information and use it with their employees. So I think it's a great book for basically anyone that's trying to move men and women around to be successful.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressures that are on anyone going to college and playing at a level where they have ambitions to go professional. And I think about the way that the world has changed, and it's more than just social media, but there's a lot of other things culturally that have changed. And, you know, people are, you know, constantly pressed with all kinds of things that don't have to do with their performance on the court. Is it harder, do you think, today to coach teens and young adults, things like if they're in college, 18, 19, 20, 21, than it was, a couple decades ago?
You're exactly right, Ryan. It is. And I'm going to tell you something. Many coaches literally left the profession because they didn't want to deal with all the pressures and the issues. You know, AAU is involved, is now in their programs. You know, one of the people I remember that really struggled with a lot of that was Bobby Knight when he went from school to school at the end of his career. And you're talking about one of the better coaches of all times. And then Gary Williams, I knew him well, and from Maryland, and he struggled with that same thing. Now, let me give you this. You'll kind of laugh at this, Ryan. My next book that's going to come out in 2022 is called Coaching Millennials from a Character Perspective.
Yeah. I like that. So, there's a lot of need.
The book is all about millennials and how they, you know, how you have to coach them and work with them and understand them. And the things you're talking about is exactly what I had to do when writing that book.
Yeah, there's a lot of outside things that contribute to a person. And just looking at the last couple of decades, there's been a lot of changes just to the atmosphere of everything. So that all makes sense. And I'm a late millennial, so I'm 37, and technically I'm a millennial, but I'm different from a 25-year-old millennial. Our experiences growing up were different. So there's a wide range of us out there with different types of needs.
And you're exactly right. And when I wrote this 10 principles, the whole purpose was not about individual group. It was about young men and women trying to get them to move in the right direction with the right principles. And if you're a coach, what it was designed to do is give you some alternative ways to coach, because some of the things we see out there may not be the right ways.
Yeah. Do you mind holding on after the break? I'd love to talk to you more about your book.
Okay, definitely.
It's Coach Gary Waters with us, and his new book's out called 10 Principles of a Character Coach. You can find it online. You can just do a quick search for 10 Principles of a Character Coach. We'll continue with them right after the break on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back. It's Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, online too, if you wanted to look us up, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. And joining us now is the author of a new book, Basketball Coach Gary Waters, and his book's called 10 Principles of a Character Coach. Thanks again for spending time with us tonight on KMOX.
Well, you're welcome, Ryan. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. So now that you're writing, you're retired from coaching, you have a little bit more time. Have you checked out the Apple TV show Ted Lasso?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I did. I've seen it one time.
Yeah, Ted Lasso, so he's a American football coach, but then he goes overseas to coach a football team, which they're at soccer, you know. So there's a little bit of a learning curve in things, but his whole big thing is coaching to the character and trying to bring the best out of the people off the field. And I was curious your thoughts on his coaching style.
Well, I think it's pretty unique, and with many people today, if they were able to get to the inner self of people, I think it can really help them, and that's what I think he's doing. He's trying to get to the inner sanctum of each player he has under his leadership, and he want to, you know, from that, take it into their, they can relax out there on the field and do things, and also that. They're committed to be together, work together as a team, and that's very important in the sport he's in.
It takes a lot of effort. When I watch the show, I think, man, he's on top of it. He's constantly working with the athletes nonstop, and it's almost like he's always on call. Is it like that being a college basketball coach?
Yeah, it's constant. And now the only difference is, you know, at certain levels, you have more coaches, so you got more people working with them. However, you still have to make that commitment to them, and you have to make the commitment to them throughout the entire day, because your goal is to make them become the best they can be, not only on the basketball court, but in the classroom as well as in their personal lives. So you got to constantly teach and give them understanding what life is all about. Just to give you an idea about that, Ryan, one of the things that I did when I coached and I ended it when I retired, I taught my players a class called Success Class. And it's not for credit or anything like that. It was only designed so I could bring them together. We sit down and talk. I would have a textbook for them for each year that I coached, for that year they used that textbook. But the whole class was designed to teach them to define success for themselves and don't let the world do it. And it came to a point where they end up understanding that, you know, the effort and how hard I work and the commitment I make to something, I'm successful. regardless of the outcome. And I think they take those kind of things into their playing experience.
And I think about these things. So the book is 10 Principles of a Character Coach. And if you just talk about the principles of a character coach, and based on working in a college program, there's going to be turnover. Sometimes, you know, the athletes, they don't make the cut. Sometimes they graduate. Sometimes they decide to enter the league, or there's all kinds of other things that could happen. And you find yourself starting over with new faces every year. And sometimes that could be difficult to work with. So I think about the principles of things. How important is it to have principles, something that you can build from, a bedrock to build from, so even though you may be starting over again, at least your principles are intact, so you know what you're building with?
Well, and you know, that's very, very important, Ryan, because you need to be consistent with young kids and young men, young women. I mean, you really have to be consistent, because today it's a different child, and they really analyze you all the way to the end. So you have to put time into them. You have to show them that you care, but you got to also show them the importance of what's in the world so they can move forward. And you give them all kinds, you know, like in the book, I talk about hard work, and that's important. I talk about loyalty and how much you need to value loyalty. And for my coaches, you know, I even talk in the book about empowering and serving your coaches to make them better coaches, so they can go out and eventually get a job or move forward. And then at the end, it ends with an area which I call legacy. Because as a coach, you want to leave a legacy that you're moving people forward and they're becoming better in who they are. And it's nothing any better than your character to make you better there.
Right. I have one last question, and this is from our producer back in the studio, and this is a great question. So our KMOX sports director, Tom Ackerman, he's worked here at KMOX for many years. He's a proud graduate of the University of Indiana. Back in 2001, your Kent State upset number 4 Indiana in the NCAA tournament. So do you have anything you would like to mention to Tom? Because that hurt him a lot.
Well, tell Tom, don't feel so bad, because there's a lot of upsets throughout history in college basketball. But that was a great time for our program. I know it wasn't so great for Indiana at the time, but it really elevated our program to the next level. And we had some very good players during that time, and it just, you know, it turned out that we were victorious.
So was Bobby Knight still there at that time?
No, they had another coach, the coach that was after him. I can't remember.
That's okay.
They had another person then. But he had a good team. He had a really good team. They were, number 4 in the country. And ours was a big upset. And, you know, when you get in those type of games, especially when you're coming from a mid-major program, you want to make sure that you play your very best at the time you're playing, because that team could be better than you as a team, but at that given moment, if you're playing your best, you may be better than them during that game. And that's exactly what happened.
You know, and to one thing I learned in broadcasting, and someone I worked with told this to me, he said that there's going to be about, I don't know, 100 people more qualified for you in any job that you apply for, but you're the one that got the chance. And that always stuck with me. I don't know why. And there's something to that. So there's always that time. You can have your time. And it could be upset or not.
And what you're saying there, Ryan, is that you got to take advantage of that time. That door is open, so you got to take advantage of it. And that's what exactly happened in that game.
Yeah. Coach Gary Waters in the book, 10 Principles of a Character Coach. You can search for it online. It just came out. 10 Principles of a Character Coach. Parents, coaches, leaders, this would be a great book for you. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Let me tell you one other thing, because you asked me a question about, you know, who is it good for and everything. Right now, I'm involved in something with the police department. I'm teaching them a character development workshop. So it can go to all different types of people.
Oh, this is perfect. And that's the thing. It's universal. Thank you so much, Gary Waters, for coming on tonight. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, thanks. It's been great talking with you, Ryan.
10 Principles of a Character Coach. Go look it up. It's KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.